Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, Mac, I don't even understand how they didn't understand you and that Mary Joy.
Yeah, I
Kick
know,
that
man.
Old robotic, futuristic George Jetson.
Yeah,
crazy Joy.
Just like you in the blab. Robotic kicking flab. More flavor, bitter, batter, chitter, chatter, madder than the Mad Hatter. I bet you buy shit, come by fatter. I got the data to turn your body into anti-matter. And just like a piece of sizzling, you'll fit inside my stomach with the eggs and grits between. The king is what I mean. I mean, my man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up, let's make this official. Everybody, let's agree that MCs need a tissue. The folks, my only issue. I bet your mama miss you, and I bet the Mac take off like an MX missile. No more you whining on the charts climbing as I make the funk kicking out more harder than a nine. And if you didn't know who's rhyming, I guess I'm gonna say Craig Mack with perfect timing. You won't be around next year. My rap's too severe, kicking mad flavor in your head. Here comes the brand new flavor in your head. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Mack's brand new flavor in your ear. Craig Mack, 1,000 degrees. You'll be on your knees, and you'll be burning, begging, please. Brother Free, man's undisputed and deep-rooted. Folks smoke and leave your brains booted. What's bad MC, with stamina like Bruce Jenner. The winner takes an MC's for dinner. You're crazy like that glue, that think that you can outdo my 1-2. That's sick like the flu. Shake them down, boy, I flip boy all the time. And cause boy, the rhyme you kickin' ain't worth a dime. Seems like there's no competition in this rap world expedition. You come around and knock you out position. Knock them out. No blade could ever dig a grave. Both the back of power pack and black make you see men crap. And here comes a brand new flavor in your air. Back to brand new flavor in your air. Here comes a brand new flavor in your air. Time for new flavor in your air. I'm kicking new flavor in your air. Back to brand new flavor in your air. Here comes a brand new flavor in your air. Time for new flavor in your air. I'm kicking new flavor in your air. Back to brand new flavor in your air.
Yeah.
Rocking with Carolyn, Abe, and Alicia C.
Don't stop
on the Urban Flavor Radio Show.
Starting up my
music.
Urban Flavor Radio.
I'm in these streets.
Your urban party station.
Good evening, everyone. This is your girl, Carolyn.
This is your man, Abraham Amir.
And we are Urban Flavor Radio. Thank
urban
you guys
flavor.
So much for joining us. Thank you for joining us this evening, and I hope and pray that we have a lot of listeners on this tonight, because we do have a special guest who will be joining us briefly. But first, I want to take a few moments to let everyone know what we have in store, what's coming up for Urban Flavor. So, Abraham, are you there with me?
I am here. Can you hear
me? All right. Yep, I can hear you. All right, so I just want to make a couple of quick announcements regarding what's coming up for Urban Flavor. We will be this Saturday, February the 29th, we will be at the Black Wall Street event where they'll be housing over 300-plus vendors, so we will be sponsoring that event. So I hope everyone will come out, and that's at the Maya Angelou School in D.C., 5600 East Capitol Street, Northeast. And then we have a birthday celebration for your boy Abraham, who's on the line with us. That is on Sunday, March the 1st. That is going to be an Urban Flavor first event. We're going to have comedian Joe Jackson at PJ Mulligan's on 2310 Woodlawn Crossing in Herndon, Virginia. Tickets are $20, so I'm hoping that everyone will go out and get your tickets now before they're all sold out. And then we will be Sunday, March 29th, we'll be at the Black History Art and Beauty Expo, where we will be sponsors at that show as well. And that, do you know the time for that one, Abraham?
I don't, but hold on.
I got it. It's from 1 to 6 p.m. So
yep,
this Saturday it's from 1 to 5. At Maya Angelou, and then Black History is at the Art Center on 1801 Mississippi Avenue Southeast, and that's from 1 to 6. So hopefully everyone will come out and join us. We have a lot going on, and we're just growing daily. We also want to mention that we are looking for sponsors. So if you're a small business owner and you want to be heard, you want to be seen, you will get that platform with Urban Flavor. We are just, you know, trying to make history, and we want people to come along with us for the ride. You have anything to add to that, Abraham?
I mean, you were doing such a wonderful job.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm want to get all the little politics, everything out of the way first.
Yeah, I'm just excited. I mean, I'm just happy that we are, you know, finally getting busy and getting out in the community. I love being in the community around the people, and I'm very, very excited. I was actually talking to El Dorado Hotep, who is the guy responsible for the Black Wall Street situation today, and I was just telling them how excited we are about being there. So, yeah, if you guys are listening and you're able to come out, please, this Saturday, stop past it. It's going to be a great event.
Absolutely, and we are definitely looking for sponsors for our radio, television, and also we have a magazine. So if you are listening and you want to take part in being here with us at Urban Flavor, we would appreciate your support. And just reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram.
Definitely. And that's all of those are Urban Flavor. You can pretty much type in Urban FLAVA on any platform that we're on, and you will definitely catch us. That's Facebook and Instagram. We don't have Twitter, but yeah, either one of those two platforms, Urban Flavor, FLAVA, and you can link up with us.
Cool. And we do have another co-host. She will be joining us a little later. Her name is Alicia, and she is our phenomenal photographer. So if you are in need of a photographer, you need to get any kind of photos taken, headshots, a model, if you're an actor, you're whatever you need, reach out to us to hire Alicia through Urban Flavor.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She is. So that being said, I want to take the time out to see if our guest is ready for this evening. Do you know if
he's
live? I
believe he's definitely ready.
Okay, cool. So we will take a quick moment to play a little introductory song and introduce our guest of the evening. So please hold tight, and if you would like to speak to our guest, please press 1 to speak to him. Thank you.
Oh, oh, oh. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There was funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them.
much for joining us tonight, and I want to thank you guys for listening in. We have a special guest this evening. His name is Marco.
I think before we do that, though, I think we need to explain to them that song, because I'm pretty sure they were like, oh, wait a minute. Where'd they pull that one from?
Yep. So the reason for that song, and that is a special introduction for our guest, Marco the Answer Johnson, because he's close to my heart. He is a phenomenal martial artist in the DMV area. He has made a name for himself in the martial artist industry. And that being said, Mr. Johnson, are you here with us this evening?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for joining us
welcome.
This evening.
How y'all doing? Good evening.
We are awesome. Thank you so much for joining us and taking the time out to let our listeners know who you are and the passion behind your craft. So not
thank
only
you.
Is,
thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Not only are you a martial artist, you are also an actor. So we want to hear, of course, everything that you have going on in your acting career as well.
Yes, ma'am. Give a little background of myself. I'm Marco the Answer Johnson, 6-time world champion. Been in martial arts since birth. Son of a phenomenal world champion, Willie the Bam Johnson. I've worked on Luke Cage season 1. I played young Luke Cage episode 13. I was on WMAC Masters in 95, which was the number one action TV show ahead of Power Rangers. At that time, I played myself as a young kid. I just finished 3 films myself. Legend of Kung Funk was a series that was real dear to my heart because I was homeless at 22, eating out of trash cans. So I created a hero, anti-hero, where most people wouldn't look at a bum from the streets as somebody that can come through and save the day. So we took the series, and it's 2 award-winning films, and the third one right now we're pitching to hopefully – have a big, big, big company take it on, just on an independent level.
Right.
And my main goal out of all that, like I tell everybody, is to get back to my kids in the city of Baltimore. So all that, the goal is to work with certify at least 1 million kids in the city of Baltimore before 2022. So that's what we're doing right now.
That's what's up. So I'm going to back it up a little bit because I want to ask you, how did you know, or at what age did you become a martial artist? When did you know that this is your passion and this is what you want to do with your life? That you come from with your father, but just you in general wanting to be a martial artist.
Mine was at 4. So I was 4 years old, and most kids, you know, you watch your cartoons. I grew up on kung fu movies. So one of my favorite movies was No Retreat, No Surrender. And it wasn't like it wasn't the star of the film. It was a black guy that was breakdancing and utilizing martial arts at the same time. So for me, young, doing martial arts at that age, I always told my dad I wanted to entertain. I wanted to give a show versus just being a martial artist that came up and you just displayed the grittiness of the art. You just, everybody expects you to fight. It's an elegance to martial arts that sometimes people can't see. So, but by me doing a Chinese style with Kung Fu, which was hidden in dance by the emperors and leaders in China back in the day, it solidified more for what I wanted to do by combining the arts of art forms of martial arts and hip-hop.
Right, so you just infused the two together to compound, you know, just being a hip-hop dancer and a martial artist.
Yes, ma'am. The culture.
Pulled it all together.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And it's mainly, like I tell people, not even just the dance, it's the culture. It's a different, when we hit hip-hop from when hip-hop was created, it was the grittiness of the clothes, the writing, the display of the artistry, where it wasn't a dance move they did. It might have been a jacket they wore or that one glove Michael Jackson wore. It was something that the culture built off of, and I felt like martial arts was doing it, but we never had a forefront of an African-American that came from. We were born
right.
in the ghettos to take it to another level. So that's been my main goal since birth, since I realized this is what I wanted to do.
Right.
Oh, excuse me.
No, you're fine. And that's why I find it interesting because, you know, coming from an urban area, do you find a lot of kids wanting to do martial arts?
Yes, more now because the understanding of the art. I think sometimes mm-hmm. when people do the art, they don't realize kids want to do it, but they're given one lane. If you show them the
right.
essence of this is a craft, it's no different than you sitting down and playing basketball. But I tell the difference
right.
between a martial arts teacher, a football coach, and a basketball coach is we deal with life. Like at the end of the day, after practice is over, you got to be that unique coach that's going to go on and see how that kid's doing. You got a martial arts teacher that sticks with you for life. You'll always remember
right.
that class you took when you was a yellow belt because the impression of the teacher wasn't about the kick or the punch. And I find it's more relatable to the kids because a lot of these kids don't have father figures. Or if they do,
mm-hmm.
the father figures that they do have are subliminal. It's like they're there, but they're not really there. So when you're given somebody that's going to tell you, hey, stop talking to that late young lady like that, or put your hand, say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, apologize. Those little
mm-hmm.
things carry them a long way beyond just the classroom or where I'm working with them.
Right, because I know that I have a son, and I put him in martial arts, and it helped me tremendously because all I had to say was, you know, I'm going to tell Grandmaster Quan if you do, you know,
yeah.
whatever you do that's wrong, and he straightened right
that's
up. And I got him all the way to first-degree black belt. And I can
yep.
still
yep.
see in him today as an adult the difference in him.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
Him through that. Right.
Yes, ma'am, it's a lifestyle. It changes your... And one thing why I stick with it and I find it, regardless of whatever it is, I feel like the ambition of me wanting to chase this dream and this vision line that I create that I have created, but I have to recreate every day to get a little bit further, is that black belt test you go through when you're there grueling, and at the end of the day you're getting this cloth, but it's really not about the cloth. It's about the journey that you made it to the other side, and now you can pass it on. So...
Right. Now, can you tell us, and I know you mentioned it earlier, about being homeless. Can you tell us a little bit about that situation and how you overcame that situation?
Well, I think, so basically for me, it's like, you know, every kid make a lot of bad decisions. I had my first son when I was 19. My next son, I was about 21, 22. And, you know, mm-hmm. you make decisions that was wrong. So I ended up living in my car in Philadelphia. So living out of my car, you meet certain people. I met a couple of dancers. And my way of getting through was I would go in clubs and battle people. That's how I would find a way to eat or get in a hotel or get on my feet. And that carried me into hosting in the clubs. And when it was hosting, it was still like, you know, the hustle and bustle of the streets. But the things I learned and the connections I've made from doing that far exceeded what I ever could do in that short time frame of martial arts. So those decisions that I made when I was homeless and you eating out of the trash can, the lady hooking you up for Panera Bread. That's why to this day I can't stand Panera Bread because it's all I
I'm
ate
sure.
for,
right.
for a year and a half straight. So
wow.
it's like. You just make it, you make it a, when you learn to live without nothing, you cherish every
mm-hmm.
moment when you get something to the next level. So for me, being at that point, a lot of people I dealt with or I was chilling with or hanging out with never knew I was in that state. They just seen, Marco always make it happen. Marco always here. Marco always do this. But it was never
mm-hmm.
you seeing, where it was at the end of the night when you're alone and you sleep. That I created this plan and this chase now. Like, those moments I don't want to ever take back. I don't want to relive them. You know what I mean? Sometimes,
right.
You know, you have. But I don't take it back because it allowed me to create, to know that any day I can move to Atlanta or California and be a stuntman. But I'm not trying to be nobody's stuntman. I realized
right.
that it's a fact that opened up for us to change this perspective of how kids look at entertainment and our heroes. And I want to be a hero. Like, at the end of the day, if I can give you a hero that you can relate to, that ain't subliminal, that don't have no sugar coat, that ain't no way, but I'll show you how I work to get this. It ain't easy, but I'm going to show you the work that I'm going to put into it. At the end of the day, it's all about the legacy. So if I can leave a legacy, that legacy is left for not only my children, but somebody else's children.
Right. So. Your story reminds me, and I listen to this YouTube all the time of Steve Harvey, when he explains his beginnings and how he was homeless and living out of a car and got that one phone call that could have made to make or break him. And then that's what landed him at the Apollo. So it sounds like you all have a similar story.
Well, I've listened dissected that book 23 to 40 to 80 times over just because I realized, like, man, sometimes you don't have to – you live a life of somebody you can idolize. And I never looked at Steve Harvey like that till the book came out and I was in a rough point of still, you know, you made it out, but it's like you need – you the chase is real. Like, if you're really chasing something and you really got – you're going to go through some hustle and bustle, and I was at that point, and I got the book. On through audio, and I was just like, man, yo, this is my story. Like, I can't forget. I can't never forget why I'm doing this. I can't forget that, yeah, I can go anywhere else. I can leave any city, but I got to start here. Like, I said to myself, I'm not leaving Baltimore until I've accomplished that. And I'll leave it. Like, I can live outside of it, but leave working with it until I work with those kids, and I can – 1 million at least gives me a 10% turnaround and at least touch 10,000 to change lives. If I certify 1 million, that gives me something. Like, most people don't want to even strive for something. So if I'm gonna go hard on the percentage, I'm gonna hit high, and then it might tap somewhere else. And some of them might not even be martial artists. Some of them might be franchise owners that open up gyms. But I want them to know, like, hey, this is my base. Like, I lived in the slums in a city that was looked at as a jungle, a third world country, and you showed me something different. That's it.
Right. Now, if we do have any listeners on the phone and want to give any questions to our special guest, please press 1 so that you can ask any questions of him while he's on. Abraham, do we have any guests hanging out there?
Not that press 1, no.
Okay. All right, because I didn't want to go all the time. And, Abraham, do you have any questions before I move on and ask him?
I got just a few comments. First and foremost, I just want to just let you know, brother, that you are amazing, man.
We definitely
need people like yourself in our communities. I'll be 45 years old Monday, and I remember growing up in D.C., in Southeast D.C., just all throughout D.C., and reminiscent to Baltimore streets as well. I'm very familiar with the streets of Baltimore. I've met some good guys who come out of Baltimore, and I know their stories. And remembering when we had the rec center. Which saved a lot of people's lives, right? You could go to the rec. Mr. Laws was the guy who ran our rec center. And whether it was just him out there throwing the football with us, playing basketball with us shooting pool all day on the pool table, whatever, it just kept us out of trouble.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Laws was one who always instilled moral and value in you. right? So even though we still went into the local grocery store and stole, we kind of had, we could hear his voice in the back of our head saying, you don't need to
yes,
do
sir.
That, find a better way. And then, of course, as you grow, you begin to grow out of the negative things and take hold of the positive things that you were taught.
Yes, sir.
You know, it says raise them up in the way that they shall go and they shall not stray from it. Right. So just want to commend you on that and doing things. My little cousin actually takes karate classes, and I can definitely say that you can tell the difference in him from taking the classes and before he started taking the classes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's a humbleness about him. And they practice like 3-4 times a week. And now he's getting into doing the tournaments and different things like that. He's really excited about it. So it's just a great thing you're doing, man. And now with, the acting and the accolades that you already have, I want to also let you know that I think people really just don't get it. And me and Carolyn was just having this conversation yesterday. I'm starting to believe, especially in the black community, if you haven't gone through the struggle, when I say the struggle, I'm talking about the real struggle, then I don't think you're qualified to make it.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I too can tell you the homeless stories. I can tell you the stories where, same thing. You trying to figure out what you're going to eat today. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yes,
I remember at one time it was a car lot, man, and it was a used car lot, and there was a van in the back of that car lot that they had left open. It was like abandoned, just sitting back there. They had like a little pull-out bed, and this is going to sound crazy, but you would have to know the struggle to understand what I'm about to say.
That moment
in time was like a breath of fresh air, because I went from walking the streets night after night, hour after hour, a park bench or whatever I could just, a box,
I tell people, man, that's it. That's the struggle. That reminds me of breaking down with no gas in a city that you don't know, and you're walking around trying to siphon gas. People don't know that. I need that to heat up. It's the middle of the winter. I gotta make it. I gotta remember that I am going to be the world's greatest action star. I gotta remember that. But right now I need gas. But everybody like, yo, but why? It's the struggle. Like, it's like you say, it's the moments that when you can remember that moment, you remember when you're going through something when you're established. Man, I'm not going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Right. Yeah, you've been there, done that, right?
Yes, sir.
So what I've grown to do is I've grown to consider myself, if you can understand what I'm saying, this somebody might take this awkward, right? But I consider myself what you would say a living sacrifice, right? So now I just look at it as though I had to be sacrificed and I had to go through it to save someone else from having to, right? Because now I can tell, like, I'm very big on community and I'm very big on, helping others, right? I want to see everyone around me achieve their dream, right? So I've already been through the hard times. So not only can I help you with the business plan, but I can also help you with the personal plan to help you to get through to the to make sure that you get everything, the fullness of life. Because I've gone through some stuff. So I just applaud you, man. If we had to, Carolyn, we got to get the clapping hands thing like they did at that other radio show.
Yes. Yes. That's
coming. The clapping hands. Hold on.
You, man. I tell you, it just, for me, it's always, like I say, I just remember being that kid watching my dad and, you go to all these different cities and compete, and you remember the hell you going back to, but you remember your mom being a dope fiend and getting high. You remember she, you going to stay at your grandmother's house. I mean, you with your grandmother, she going to get high. You getting molested young. So you remember all that, but you're going to these tournaments, right, with all these Asian kids, and you're the only black one. What is worse? Nah, for me, what was worse is if I didn't make a stamp and realize, like, yo, I'm from this city. I represent the DMV. They could say, yo, I'm from Baltimore, but I represent every kid that have a dream to say, yo, I want to do something big. I want to do something outside of this city. I know it's beyond these four walls. I know it's beyond these the gunshots hearing on 4th of July. Like, nah, it's beyond all that. You're giving them, for me, at the end of the day, I look at it's never been a martial artist to leave a stamp for our culture to be like, yo, like, dog, that's what I want to be. Like, everybody look at Bruce Lee and be like, yo, Bruce the man, dog. But we never look at Jim Kelly to be like, yo, Jim Kelly, really, Bruce Lee was really stealing from Jim Kelly. Like, his mannerisms was Jim Kelly, because Jim Kelly was doing his own films before Bruce Lee even came to this country. Like, we didn't pay, a lot of people didn't pay attention to that. Like, he says, I stole Muhammad Ali's swagger. I stole his shuffle. Like, but he's famous for having the mannerisms of, in our culture, we do every day. The facial expression,
right,
the knee mugging, the bucking at people. Like, they wasn't doing that. That's not what they do. We did that. Like, we don't, I think sometimes we, through hip-hop now, through music now, it's looked at like that's what you got to be. It's never looked at like, yo, go viral for being a hero.
And I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but we're on this point, I never understood that. Why are we mean-mugging each other to dance? Why are we, as people, mean-mugging each other to live amongst each other? When we should be embracing each other and pulling each other up and supporting. So I just find it so hard to believe that we cannot stick together, support each other, and make a name for the black community.
But I think it's because of the adults. And I think everybody keeps starting with the adults, and we forget that it's the kids first. If I go to your child first, you're going to listen to me. I don't care what you say. You're investing in your child. If you're not investing in your child, it's someone in your household that's investing in your child, and that's who I want to deal with. I really don't want to deal with you because you might be stuck in a culture that I never can change you. If I'm dealing with the next generation that's going to lead us, because you got to think about it. It's funny. When I'm around people, I hear them use the slang of the kid. And I'm like, oh, you talk about the kids, but you're using the words. Embrace them. Embrace them for a moment. Like, embrace them, because I come from Generation X, where they say, hey, we not going to amount to nothing. We just going to kill each other off. But half of them are the next leaders, are the people that you see are the billionaires, the next entrepreneurs of music and cultural change. And like, but we don't pay attention to that. We get obsolete. But I think the people of power know. But I think sometimes the people of our own culture, we look at the, yo, I want the chain. Yo, I want the Versace belt. But don't listen to it. Yo, the Warren Buffett say it, don't buy it unless you can buy five Versace belts. Because if I can buy five Versace belts, one don't matter.
Absolutely.
One don't matter. Like, but people don't look at it like that. I think we have a culture of talent and embrace of talent, and I think the business psyche of a lot of leaders don't teach the next generation business. To live in life, it is called the show business. So if I'm doing a show, I'm gonna give you the show. I got the talent, but at the end of the day, if my business don't match, I'm not the culture. Like if I walk in a room with a bunch of Caucasian men and they different, they got a different. It's that you think, oh, they don't like black people swag. I'm always gonna get along. You know why? Because I know the business side is the show. You forget my talent. You want to really hear what I can say. You want to hear what my purpose is. Because most of the dudes, you hear their purpose, and they say, yo, I want to make 100,000. No. That's not my goal. like my goal is far beyond that. That's an accomplishment and a goal. But how could you help me gross $20,000 a month for the next 5 years? Then we could talk. Mm-hmm. Like we could talk on a. Hey. They want to hear that. They don't want to hear me give me $100,000 now because $100,000 is gonna run out. They want to hear if I'm making an investment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me jump in real quick because I'm loving what you're saying. So and this is a quote that I use a lot. And people really have to understand the true value of the quote that I'm about to give you. Toward the end of Martin Luther King's life, he says, "I feel as though I led my people into a burning building." And up until this point, he had fought for civil rights, right?
Yes.
And desegregation, when actually segregation was great for us because we had our own and we stayed in our own community. And we did for ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once we desegregated, the white people basically moved in and took everything from us, right? And then it was when he started asking, because I'm listening to what you're saying, right? When you step in front of them and all you're talking about is just give me the money, right? Then they know they can control you with the dollar amount.
Yes,
so they'll continue to give you the money, but the more money they give you, the more you have to do for them.
Yes, sir.
But the moment you start talking about, well, I'm not really concerned about the money because my total goal in life, period, right? Both of you guys, if it's in the cards, if the universe has it for us to work together, I'm always going to give 100% to everything that I do and the people around me. But my overall goal is to generate generational wealth for my family.
Yes, sir.
Right.
When I pass, I want to know that my kids have something, some businesses that they could come in, and I've shown them how to run these businesses, and the businesses pretty much run themselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
sir.
They're generating residual income to where my kids could live off of this business. I could care less about a Versace belt. I could care less about driving a Mercedes. You can give me a 1963 Pinto right now, and I will drive that Pinto like it's a Mercedes, because as long as it gets me to point A to point B right now, that's all that matters to me.
Yes, sir.
Because I would rather have the wealth than the material.
Yes,
right.
Because I feel as though it's like back. I feel like my dad when he first started his martial arts. He helped. My sister right now does Jurassic Park Live. She is the main face for Jurassic Park Live that's going all around the U.S. And to see my sister at the Barclay Center, to see my sister at the Barclay Center last weekend, closing, and then the back of Tracy Morgan, like, and my sister, like, yeah, we've met, like, other celebrities, and I'm sitting there with, and this is my little sister that see her brother when he was hustling in the streets and working at the clubs, and he was homeless, but he would still come to the dojo to train with her and still come and get her every weekend. Like, she's seen that. But for her, when we sit there and she's like, hey, big bro, this is the beginning. You did this. Keep doing what you're doing, because what you've done helped me get here. You can't ever go back and be like, man, what you said in the beginning when we first started, I'm the living sacrifice. I sacrifice me not being a live kid because I gotta prepare to be the face one day. It's like when I hear it every time, like when you come up as a kid and everybody like, yo, you the next one, like you the next thing. It's a lot of pressure, but at the same time, it's about the preparation of being ready, because we never ready.
Right.
It's like you can get the big contract, get the baller contract. We have tons of NFL players and football, basketball, rappers, they get the money, they get the contract, but blow it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they never experienced the struggle. Or they forgot when they was eating out of the same pot that they out of not for nine people in the same house. It became the clout. It's like, yo, once you get there, how can I control my destiny to go to another level? So I always read books. That's why I always have to read 2 books a day. I don't care if I've read the books 25 times. You know why? Because in my mind, I don't know enough. I got to keep on expanding my knowledge because the knowledge of the people around me, somebody's going to come to me for something that they might have a doctorate degree or something else, and I might not know nothing about what they're asking me about, but I have experience on it. So my experience might not be philosophical like somebody that has went to school for it, but my experience can tell them, like, hey, man, this is how you get to – this is how I got to the other level. This is how you might get to the next level. And they help me in something else. And I feel like our community, that's what we falter. It's like the service – we do a disservice to our people when we don't give them what they need for their service. If I'm going to eat, I'm going to make sure you eat. No, it ain't that I'm going to eat and then, all right, later on, I'm going to eat later on. I'm going to see if I can eat, you can eat later on. No, I know it's a guaranteed way from what I put in from my ways and what I put in as talent. If somebody say, look, dog, I'm willing to back you and get behind you and put the right team behind you, I know we're going to eat for a lifetime because you know why? I've been doing this so long by myself that it's like it's repetitive. Like, is it like I know. Like, it's like you walk in a room. It's like, you know, when you're ready and you walk in a room and somebody be like, hey, man, dog, I'm ready to invest in you. I'm not ready yet. You know why? Because I know at that standpoint of being ready is that point of when I go in, you can't tell me, hey, you got to be here. I sent you the check. No, somebody already called me and told me the check was cut and paid my whole staff, and my check is in the bank for me to go and do what I need to do. And then the wifey got money enough to go shop and take care of the kids, and I can go in and put the show in the business part because the business is done. I learned that being homeless. Like, I sat back and had to read books. Like, I had to dissect myself to realize, like, if I want to do this, do I want to do it? And be a, do I want to be, like Shaq said a long time ago, he said, I love playing in the NBA, but I had to get to the point or time that I wanted to be Jerry West. And nobody got that. And everybody like, why he say he wanted to be Jerry West? Jerry West signs the paychecks for the basketball players.
Right.
Right.
He owned the team. Like, you can go out, say 82, had a shoe deals and everything else, but you're not making more than the owner.
Absolutely.
You're not banking like the owner. But it's like the owner got to a point where he owns the team. He dictates, he moves. But I feel like there's so many people in power of where we can go now that you're owning teams, but you can change communities.
Absolutely.
And that's my goal. When I get to when God blesses me to that stage enough where I have more than just my talent to give, look, I'm ready to build communities. Nipsey put that in a lot of people's head, but they came to know him after he passed. This was something that I studied when the guy was just his music wasn't hot, and he still he owned business. His music wasn't hot, but he owned business, so he collected the paycheck every day, even if his album didn't sell. That is life. When you get up every day. And you can, and you know, at a certain time of month, you're gonna get a certain amount of income that's gonna pay off your mortgage, car note, everything. And you got spending money because that next paycheck to coming, you're saving for vacation money. And you got to worry about it because in 3 months you can take off because you don't want to work for 3 months, but you still want to work because you just work remotely. It's changing your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people do.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Nah, I need that. Sign me up. I'm with it.
That's what I'm talking about. And that's what a lot of people don't get. You have to have multiple streams of income. You have to be able to, when you lay down at night and go to sleep, your bank account should still be rolling when you wake up the next morning.
Yeah.
So
acting in martial arts is, tournaments in martial arts is not my talent. My talent is teaching. I teach, but and I hated teaching. I was considered the worst martial arts teacher, but Steve Harvey made me realize it. Like, bro, you want to make money? Go stop trying to – you don't want to open a dojo, so won't you go and give people martial arts like they've never had it before, interactive, bring it to them. People don't do that no more. You got to sign up at somebody's dojo. No, I'm going to bring it to you firsthand, but I'm going to bring it to you so cool and direct that we ain't putting on a white uniform. We putting on – something that you feel comfortable with, but at the end of the day, you felt like you got the best workout in your life. When you coming back? That's it.
Mhm. Yeah, that is so true. So, Marco.
Yes, ma'am.
Trying to get my, it's so much that I'm taking in right now. how did you get into acting, coming out of martial arts and hip hop, being a hip hop dancer? What made you want to get into the acting career?
That was the first point. That was the main point.
That was first? Okay.
When you came up, I mean, for me, looking at Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I came up on Black Exploitation, so I'm not going to lie to you. You got Fred Williamson, Jim Kelly, Cleopatra Jones, Foxy Brown, Three to Harley. Mm-hmm. I came up on those films. I came up on 36 Chambers. I came up on those films. So for me, it was like I never seen a Black Five Deadly Venom. I never seen a Black Chinese Connection. So for me, I was like, duh. I want to be that. I don't want to just do it to do it. I want to do it to get to that level and be able to display it on a level where you can have a culture of a million African Americans going to watch it like they watch Black Panther.
Right.
Because it's a culture like, yo, like this something like, y'all, did you see the dude that's doing it? But nobody does it because I feel like nobody relates to the people anymore. Black Panther related to the people because it was a black superhero. The promotion was great. It was a black cast. It gave everybody the culture of blackness.
Right.
I think, but everybody will see and sell out. Yeah. I think nobody really, even the difference between is a Die Hard. People back in the day would go see Die Hard. Some Rocket Kids would go see the next Fast and the Furious. Going to sell it out. You know why?
Oh, yeah, they're in
they
line
built
for
the
that.
Culture. They built a culture that you can love. They never deciphered it from just being black, but they gave it the essence of the actor that you put in front of us. We can relate to him.
Right.
Like, we know him. We know that brother. Like, we, yo, he like us. He like us, brother. Like, he ate the noodles before, too. And I don't think it's a lot of those actors out of that like that for us. It's like, and that's no disrespect. So for me now, as I got older, it was like embracing of, all right, how can you bring a culture of, and it's funny, it's about to be funny when I say the Blackie Chan, a black Jackie Chan. Like, he's funny, he's culture, he's family friendly. You didn't have to put the Disney symbol on him. He's not killing people, shooting people all the time. It's something where everybody, that you can take your grandmother to see.
Absolutely.
But it's not corny. So
and
as I got older, that's what I started to dissect.
Right. We need more of that. We need films that the whole family can go out to see versus seeing all the shooting and killing.
I got a quick question if I can interject. So what about, and I cannot think of his name because I've been a fan of his forever. And actually, I was just watching it last night. I kind of fell asleep to it. What's that movie? Gosh, what is the name of this movie? I would have to go look for it. Undercover Brother. Have you seen that movie?
You're talking about Michael John White?
Yeah, so what do we feel about him? I've always liked him. He actually is from Connecticut. And a good friend of mine is his wife's brother. Right, so I was supposed to meet
him. Oh, I love
him.
And what I'm about to say is no disrespect to that brother, because I see him all the time at every event. He knows my father, like as a team, but he not gonna come to my hood. He not gonna come to your hood that you grew up in. If he just dropped the film, he just dropped Undercover Brother. So for me, this is the difference between where I think me and him would decipher. When I go on my film promotional tour, I'm not going around martial artists, white dudes with bread. I'm trying to go around the kids that I want to watch my film, that I'm trying to embrace to show you something better that you might not like. Dog, like you never had that. Those guys aren't doing that. I think that's where decipher. You could be a great action hero, but the heroes related to our community. Jim Brown was in the community. Jim Kelly was in the community.
Right.
Fred Williamson was in the community. like the old school kung fu artists were in their community. They helped change their community. I think we have a lot of actors like you have Dwayne, The Rock Johnson helped change his community. Like, if they make change, we don't have a black actor that can let me help make a change. I'm sorry.
I can speak for him as far as, because he's based out of Connecticut, New Haven, right? He does a lot for those kids in New Haven. He has the martial arts studio there. He's very well known in that community. Now, I don't know if he does that abroad, but I know in New Haven, Connecticut, if you mention his name, he's like a god to those people there.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I respect all the way. In martial arts, he's a god to us. Like, we love him. But what I'm saying is that name five of the top black action heroes right now. He's not he. You throw his name out there because he's relevant now. He just did a movie. You send it on Netflix. But he's not a Jason Statham. He's not a Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's not even a Vin Diesel right now. Where's the culture for us right now? Where's that black guy that you said, man, he did all his stunts, bro. I'm going to see his movie. Oh, yo, dude, you see the black guy in that? It's, we have a couple of them sprinkling. But they never are the ones that are where you can say, when you think of Bruce Willis, you think about action hero. No different. You think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you think of action hero.
Right.
You think of Jim Kelly, you can say martial arts action hero. But for a culture right now, too, and he's older. Right now, he's like 50. I think he's around 50 years old. He's like 50. So for him, the culture of kids, he got to re-relate. A lot of his films won't relate to this generation. He's not going to do a movie that deals with somebody that's a tech genius, that's a despicable killer, and kids gonna love that. My culture,
right.
I could deal with that. I know how to make it mold, because it's like 20 kids that probably know more about an iPhone in the hood than a kid that live in the suburb.
Man, you ain't never lying.
You ain't never lying.
They might not know their ABCs, but they know everything about the daggone new iPhone.
I use an example for you. He would never do a movie to tap into the culture of the fighting that goes on when people are filming it on the phone, like something that can relate and bring a life lesson that deals with just those kids, because he's a hero. I mean, I feel like sometimes you can be a hero, you can go fight the bad guy, be a secret agent, but secret agents ain't in the hood. What about the janitor? What about when Action Jackson was the dude that was in the hood and was trying to clean up the hood? And I'm not saying all films got to be that, but for you to break the mold sometimes, you have to create it. And I think you got to know your lane. No disrespect, I don't think that was his. I don't think that's his lane. I think he's sprinkling into that lane now with the Black Dynamite and the Undercover Brothers and stuff like that. But this generation isn't watching that. My little brother that's 13, 14 not going to watch that. I'm trying to make a movie that he going to watch, because I know my parents are going to watch it, because they got a chance to see.
That brings me to the main question of this evening before we get too close to having to end the call. You mentioned in the beginning that you have a platform, you have a movie that you're working on. How soon or how ready is that to be released so we can see you on the big screen, so that your parents and your little brother and all of us could come out to see you as the next superhero?
Well, we got the two right now are done. Sign, sale, deliver. My goal is in the next couple of months to have a viewing party before we go into production for part three. Part three is there because this one I'm directing myself. The first two I brought in two directors to actually bring it because, I was the lead actor, but I'm the lead actor and the lead director in this one. So right now the part one is on Soul Star TV on Roku.
Okay.
So people can check that one out. In the next, God's willing, in the next 3 to 4 months, We're just finishing up the distribution deal with Amazon for part two. And part three is
awesome.
My baby. Like, that's my baby. I'm trying to be able to allow people to see martial arts in comedy in its truest essence to our people. But I don't care what culture you come from, you can relate to it.
Right. Yeah, that's you know, that's what's needed. We need something to laugh and find humor in, as well as to educate us at the same time.
Yes, ma'am.
To let our kids know that they don't have to. I mean, I know we grow up in the hood, but we don't have to have that mentality of being hood all the time. There is a way to, you know, teach each other and learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just my take on everything. And I'm so happy to hear that you have that structure that you could teach our young people, you know, a new way of life to get into martial arts, to learn a different way of life, not having to grow up behind someone else that's in the streets selling drugs, doing the wrong things, you know, leading them down the wrong path. You have, I think you still, are you still doing a tour with the kids? Or
yes,
that's
it.
Basically in
Baltimore. That kicks off. Yeah, we're doing Baltimore now, and the goal is to, by next school year, we're tapping into at least, we're trying to book on the 10 cities. And that's my baby right now. 100 school tour is the goal, but I want my first 10 cities outside of Baltimore. So we can get to the goal of, like I said, 1 million kids. So that's the goal.
Awesome. That's what's up. And I think we do have a caller on the line for you. I have a question for you. Caller, are you there? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Caller? Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How y'all doing today?
We're awesome. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I hear y'all got the answer
in the building.
The answer is in the building.
Bless up, bro. Bless up, man.
What's
I'm
up,
proud
bro,
of you, man. Just keep doing what you're doing, bro. You already know.
Hey, man.
How
you
doing?
Man, you know, grinding, bro. You know, guys keep chasing the vision line. The line ain't getting thin yet. The light is getting bright.
Yeah, I called in because I support you. You know what I'm saying? I support, you know what I mean, from the journey of when I first met you up into what you're doing right now. It's like people watching, we seeing what you're doing. So I'm definitely proud of what you're doing, bro.
Hey, bro, don't remember, you laid the way, bro. Don't forget that. You got me going with watching you go on American Idol and them tell you to be different, and you stayed the same. You broke the culture to allow me as a young kid, when even my pops and everybody told me, like, no, be this way. I said, bro, be you. So everybody just watching me be me from examples of, that you set for me and other big brothers set for me, man. So, yeah, so hey, it's just, I'm glad y'all proud of me, though.
I'm definitely proud, because if y'all know, like, how y'all talking about, like, the martial artists who are actually in the hood around the community. Marco, he came from all the way to Baltimore, got on the train, hopped on another train to come to the hood just to come through and play some Madden with me and the fellas. You know what I mean? Just like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Just out of his element, but still in his element. And that's where, you know what I mean, I can always appreciate coming from you, you know what I'm saying, how you just grew into just being who you are, you know what I mean?
Right.
Well,
I hate to cut it short. I'm sorry, guys. But we are about to run out of airtime. So I do appreciate the caller, Soul Stars on the line, and Marco, the Answer Johnson, our special guest this evening. Thank you so much. And where can our callers or our listeners reach you, Marco?
Already, you know, your boy The Answer Instagram, Marco The Answer Johnson on Facebook. And Twitter, your boy The Answer. And all the platforms, your boy The Answer. That's me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And we look forward to having you back, especially when you hit the big films. Hit the big stage.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate
it. Thank you. And you guys have a good night.
Me too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You are now rocking with Carolyn, Abe, and Alicia C.
Don't stop.
On the Urban Flavor Radio Show.
Starting up my
music.
Urban Flavor Radio.
I'm in these streets.
Your urban party station.
Yo, Mac, I don't even understand how they didn't understand you and that Mary joint.
Yeah, I
kick
know,
kick that
man.
Old robotic, futuristic George Jetson.
Yeah,
crazy joint.
Just like Uniblab. Robotic kicking flab. For flavor, been a batter. Chitter, chatter, madder than the Mad Hatter. I met you by shit, come by fatter. I got the data to turn your body into anti-matter. And just like a piece of sizzling, you'll fit inside my stomach with the eggs and grits between. The king is what I mean. My man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up, let's make this official. Everybody, let's agree that MCs need a tissue. The folks my only issue. I bet your mama miss you, and I bet the Mac that go off like an MX missile. No more you whining on the charts climbing as I make the funk kicking out more harder than a diamond.